There are men who don't have a preference between the prisoner and secret agent man because they're in a client meeting right now. There are men who can't remember who played Agent 86 or Agent 99 because they're building a playhouse for the children. And then there's Adam Bernstein and Doug Bost, two men who should have better things to do but aren't doing them right now. These are two grown-ass men.
Grown-ass men.
We are back with another convincing. The third convincing.
The third. I'm psyched for this one because I feel like now I know my role in the convincing.
Let it begin, let it begin, let it begin. The convincing. Let it begin, let it begin, let it begin. The convincing. You know just what I want. I know just what you need. Let it begin, let it begin, let it begin. The convincing, the convincing, the convincing.
You try to convince me of something I have no idea, and then I pick something that I know I don't have to convince you at all.
It is very easy to convince each other because we like all the same things.
More or less.
That's the problem with the convincing.
That's the problem with this show.
And we want to make it. It's true. Why are we still doing it? We just like the same
Let's
things.
Let's pick a topic that we like would argue about. Yes. Like Maine versus Brazil. Yes.
What? You don't like Maine?
No, I like Maine. Oh, I like
see?
Maine.
See, already it's a problem.
I don't want to live in Maine. It's too cold.
Well, the convincing is back.
All right, and the convincing.
Today, I am going to convince you to go out and buy some new.
All right. You did give me the new vision, which I haven't started.
Oh, but that's going to be a whole episode.
But anyway, so I see some comics.
Am I going first?
Yeah, go
okay.
for it.
Okay, I'm here to convince you, Adam, to go to the comic shop and buy some new comics. Because since I started doing this podcast with you, I have even more than I used to wound up in the comic book stores
right
on Wednesdays. And, you know, I'm so focused on the old comics that we grew up on and love.
Yeah.
And yet, I've found some new comics that I really do like.
Right.
And I have them. I have copies of these, but I'm not lending them to you.
Okay.
I think you should go out and get them because they're really good.
Okay.
And they deserve a little comic book shop time getting this stuff. And the first one is called Black Hammer.
There's
a series called Black Hammer. It's a brand new series.
And it's current right now.
I have the first six issues in front of me.
Dark Horse.
Yeah, it's a Dark Horse comic. Jeff Lemire, Dean Ormston, and Dave Stewart do the comic.
Dave Stewart of the Eurythmics.
It is Dave Stewart of the Eurythmics. And also
Annie Lennox.
No, not really Dave
Stewart.
She
is the Black Hammer.
But Black Hammer is so much fun, and it's a weird premise.
Yes.
It's about this group of former superheroes who find themselves after a cataclysmic world-saving event where they all teamed up to fight some sort of Galactus-like creature.
Right.
They saved the world, but in so doing, the world thinks that they're dead, but really they've all been transported to this little town in the middle of nowhere, and they live on a farm together. They've lost their powers for the most part.
Wow.
They don't know why they're there, but they've been there for 10 years now, and they're trying to figure out why they're here, why they can't leave, and what they could do to get off this farm. And the characters are fun. One of them is called Abraham Slam, and he's basically Captain America. And he's fallen in love. He's like an older guy, and he's fallen in love with a local waitress in the town. He's trying to, you know, they're in various stages of trying to adapt to life in this weird new rural town that they found themselves in. There's a guy called Barbalian, who's basically a gay Martian Manhunter, and he's
isn't Martian Manhunter gay anyway?
He's completely alien, right. This guy, Barbalian, but he assumes a human identity, and he has a crush on the local priest, and so he's trying to, you know, spend time with this guy and meet him. And then there's this girl named Golden Gale, who's basically a female Shazam. And all through her career as a superhero, she would say the magic word and transform into this little girl who had superpowers and could fight anybody. But as she got older and older and older, she always transformed into this little girl. Even she got to be an old lady.
But
she would say the magic word and transform into this little girl. And now, on the farm, she's stuck as a little girl without her powers.
Oh, jeez.
And then there's Madame Dragonfly, who's like a witch. And there's Colonel Weird, who's basically Adam Strange. And he's
Colonel
got a,
Weird.
He's got an android he works with. And then they also fought alongside this character who's basically a black Superman. His name was Black Hammer. And that's who the whole comic is named after.
Right.
But oddly enough, when they save the world and they all wind up in this little town, the one person who doesn't come to this little town is Black Hammer. So you don't know why Black Hammer didn't come with them or where he is. But the other part of the story is that Black Hammer's daughter is trying to find them. It's all these weird sort of kind of soap opera little pieces of story that are all coming together.
So, like, how many issues have been put out of this comic?
Only six.
Oh, and you have them. So you're, like, in on it from the beginning.
Yeah, and I totally recommend this series. It's just a lot of fun.
It sounds great.
What's happening? And the art is beautiful. And the
can I see one?
Characters are fun. No, you can't see
one. Oh, I
no,
can't
of course,
see.
Of course you can.
I can't even see.
But
oh,
I recommend
looks really
it.
Good. The art is excellent.
Yeah.
Dean, do you know Dean Ormston? Have you heard of him?
I don't know him other than this comic, no.
It has like a modern like kind of feel, art-wise, to what you see a lot these days. Like, art has really changed in books. There's like so much more room for how people interpret just form.
Yeah.
You know, which is kind of a nice thing. There's a lot more personality in it.
It feels like a Dark Horse book in a lot of ways, because it's kind of like Hellboy or the Monster Men or some of these, you know, the Goon or some of these other comics that Dark Horse has put out.
How did you discover this?
I just liked the title.
And
then
I started
reading it. I saw it on the shelf. I liked the title. So in case that isn't enough to get you to go to your comic book store and get some new stuff.
Right.
I have another thing to recommend, which is Paper Girls.
Paper Girls.
It's a new series by Brian K. Vaughan.
Ah.
Brian K. Vaughan, who we all love. Brian K. Vaughan did Why the Last Man.
Didn't we see this
Saga.
Being advertised at the con?
We did.
Did
we
you
did.
Get it then?
I didn't get it then. I got it since then. And it's great. It's a little like what Joseph Koch was saying to us when we were at the comic book warehouse, that this is the time of the writer in comics more than the time of the artist.
Right.
And Brian K. Vaughan is such a great writer.
He's amazing.
He's written so many excellent things. This book, Paper Girls, is kind of a combination of what's good about Why the Last Man and what's good about Saga, which is his other big series.
Right.
It's a little bit like Stranger Things, the TV show.
Yeah.
Only stranger. It's really fun. It's about four girls who deliver papers. They're all tweens.
Wow.
And they deliver papers in 1988 in this little town. It seems like it's on Long Island. And one morning, about 4 a.m, it's the morning after Halloween in 1988, and they're out delivering their papers, and everything gets weird. And
wow.
It's like Why the Last Man, because they seem to be, in some cases, the last people on Earth.
Yeah.
And then it's like Saga, because they're not the last people on Earth. There's aliens and time travelers and pterodactyls, but it's really well written.
Hmm.
It's such a page turner. It's really fun to read. It's not too geeky and science fiction-y. It's just really great writing and great storytelling. Oh, that's another great thing happens in Paper Girls. Another great thing happens where a girl has a near-death experience, one of the paper girls. And her life flashes before her eyes.
Right.
But all she sees is herself playing Breakout on the computer. Like, her whole life basically is getting from level 1 to level 30 Breakout.
Right. Cliff Chiang, who I've never heard of.
Oh, Cliff Chiang. Yeah, the
Cliff
artist.
Chiang?
Yeah.
You know him.
No, I don't, other than this series. I know that people love to say that things are like Jack Kirby, but there is something Kirby-ish about this art, because Kirby always, you know, loved gangs of kids.
Mm-hmm.
And these are like four girls who hang out together. And the lines are so simple on a lot of the characters. And yet also, whenever he's drawing machinery, like really cool, crazy machinery, it looks great. It's weird and believably
right.
impossible to imagine, you know, that what this machine could possibly do.
You know, it's funny, like comic books, in a way, it's the way music is now. It's so much that you can't, it's hard to discover it. There's probably so many gems. I'm glad you're telling me about these. I want to read them.
Go to your comic book store, people. Black Hammer is really great. Paper Girls is really great. The Vision is a killer. We're going to talk about that in another episode.
Yeah, those are next on my thing, on my my list.
Oh, yeah. All right, what about
the convincing?
Part two. The convincing. What are you convincing me of
today? Part two of this particular part
three episode. Whatever it is, I'm not buying it.
You're not buying it?
Nope.
You already did.
Nope, forget it.
For Christmas, I got you, was it Daredevil
17? Yes.
Did you look at it?
I love it. I read it.
Spider-Man and Daredevil.
Yeah.
And you got me these great 20 centers, Captain America and the Falcon 150.
Yep.
With the new super powerful The Stranger. So it's Cap and Falcon. I read this last night.
The weird thing is The Stranger is the villain, but almost on page two, it turns out that somebody else is masquerading as The Stranger. So it's not even The Stranger.
I did not get drawn into this issue that much.
Yeah.
It was like...
Sorry.
No, it's great. I mean, just to look at the cover is exciting. When you gave it to me, I was like,
I know.
Capping 150. Yes.
The cover is kind of the best thing about this issue.
Yeah, it's a great cover. Anyway, but on the other side, the other issue in this bag was Marvel Premiere featuring Doctor Strange, number 9.
Marvel Premiere number 9.
This is the first one with Engelhardt and Bruner.
Mm-hmm.
They started issue 3, but it made me think, if you don't know Marvel Premiere as a whole. Marvel Premiere was a series that they used to introduce new characters or finish up stories from books that weren't making it.
Interesting.
Financial.
Right. Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Right? So it was from 1972 to 81. And I mean, that 72 is before my time, but that's like a huge chunk of my big early comic book experience.
And they tried out a lot of great characters in
Check
Marvel
out
Premiere.
This list. This is almost a complete list. Warlock.
Yep.
Power of Warlock. I mean, I was all over that because I was so deep into the Starlin ones. I had to go back.
Yeah.
Those are cool. Gil Kane. Then Doctor Strange. And a lot of people consider when Engelhardt and Bruner took over, that's some of the best 70s books.
Mm-hmm.
They're really loved intensely. And I love Bruner's art. We met him at the con.
He was so nice.
He was nice.
I hope we can interview him.
I know, that would be great. Iron Fist 15, the origin of Iron Fist. Roy Thomas, Gil Kane.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, so you have like three, you know, Doctor Strange got his own book.
So did Warlock.
From that, and so did Iron Fist.
So, right, all three of them.
Yep. They were successful, and they, part of the problem I was thinking is that these characters, when they get their own book, it's like almost impossible that they're going to succeed on the same level as the openers that are so powerful. Because you can't sustain it.
Well, Marvel Premiere, you could have a short story arc.
Right.
You could, two issues.
Right.
That would be your whole Iron Fist story arc. Whereas when you got a whole Iron Fist book, it's got to go on forever.
I know. And that's the problem with Iron Fist. Even though it got taken over by Claremont and Byrne, and those are great books, they look amazing. I mean, because I checked some of those out from when we interviewed Chris Claremont, and I was like, this is great. I remember buying those. But Hercules had a little thing.
Okay.
Santana, if you remember her.
Satana,
not
yep.
Santana.
Not Santana.
Carlos. But I'm sure Carlos Santana is in some comic book somewhere. He's got to be.
Editor's note. Guitar god Carlos Santana had his own limited edition comic in 1993 called simply Santana. Published by Rocket Comics. An autographed copy can be purchased online for just $700.
The Legion of Monsters. Do you know the Legion of Monsters?
That's got to be early, right? Legion of Monsters?
It's early. It's in the mid-70s. That had Ghost Rider, Man-Thing, Morbius.
Living Vampire.
Yes. Morbius is great.
I love Morbius. He started out in Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, like, yeah. Spider-Man.
He was Spider-Man's professor who turned into a vampire,
yes.
I think.
Yeah. I mean, and he's super intelligent and, yeah, I mean, Morbius is an excellent villain.
Yeah.
But, so it's Ghost Rider, Man-Thing, Morbius, and Werewolf by Night.
Great.
A team.
Put them all together.
They're a team.
Didn't work out.
No, I mean, how can they even communicate? Man-Thing can't talk.
Just grunt at each other.
Man-Thing can't do anything. Right. He just observes.
Morbius, the living vampire, went to Starbucks. But the Man-Thing couldn't order, cause he really can't speak, which frustrated the hell out of Werewolf by Night, who turned to Johnny Blaze and said, this legion of monsters thing, it ain't working.
Did you ever read Solomon Kane?
Yes.
Solomon Kane was another Robert E. Howard creation. Roy Thomas did one with Howard Chaykin, who is
Howard
one of my
Chaykin
favorites.
Is the artist and the writer for Solomon Kane, too.
No, he might have. I know Roy Thomas had a
okay,
huge
maybe
part
he
of
just
adapting
was the artist.
Stories.
Yeah.
I mean, this is early on in Howard Chaykin. Now he writes everything he draws, it seems. But I remember loving those.
I did too. I loved
Solomon Kane.
They're like period pieces.
Right. And then they stray and they go into like Jack of Hearts.
I think I had that one.
Yes. The origin of Ant-Man with Scott Lang.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Alice Cooper has an issue. You know, got to have Alice Cooper. Black Panther, they were. Because he was in Jungle Action and then I think he had his own book and it didn't. Then Kirby did his book.
Nobody knew what to do with Black Panther.
Yeah. You know,
now they're figuring it out.
They're figuring it out now.
But
finally,
it took 40 years.
Right. Wonder Man. Do you remember Wonder Man?
Had his own
Man?
Series, sure.
You know, originally when they did Wonder Man early in the Avengers, apparently DC called up Stan Lee and said, you got to discontinue this character because we have Wonder Woman.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, all right, fine. Doctor Who.
Oh, right. The Tom Baker Doctor Who.
Yeah. I never read those. Uh-huh. This is towards the end.
I read
them. Star-Lord.
Sure.
Who had also a thing in the magazine, which was called Marvel Preview.
He's different.
Number 4. He has a big role in Guardians of the Galaxy. Star-Lord.
But they've reinvented him for Guardians of the Galaxy in a very good way for the movies.
And 3D Man.
3D Man, 3D Man, 3D Man, 3D Man, 3D Man.
Which, remember 3D Man?
Wasn't that a
green
Ditko?
And red?
No, that's Machine Man.
That's Machine Man.
Machine Man was Ditko. 3D Man, I do remember.
There was an old character, 3D Man, of something like that, and Roy Thomas like revived.
He's like orange and green, right?
Or red and green.
Red and green,
yeah. Like Vision-esque.
What does he do?
He was just into 3D.
He's
man.
Just
he
in the third
3D
dimension.
Movies.
Wow.
he goes
old
to the
Vincent Price movies.
In 3D.
Yeah.
There's so many characters. Mary bought me this History of Marvel Comics thing that I was reading. Where at one point, one of the editors-in-chief, maybe it was Jim Shooter or one of those guys, said, don't make any new, you know, villains or superhero characters. Because we have enough. And he made a list. And
right.
He sent it to everybody. He goes, here's the 3 million we already have.
Just use these.
Yeah, and, you know, of course, like, you know, with the X-Men, they said
Chris Claremont is incapable.
Yeah.
He just
said hell with it.
Yeah.
I used to love Marvel Premiere.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Marvel 2-in-1, Marvel Team Up. I used to love those because you were going to get something new.
And there was also Marvel Spotlight, Tales to Astonish.
Yes.
There were a few other titles that were Tales of Suspense.
Yeah, that's early.
Right. But there were other titles a little like Marvel Premiere where they would try out characters.
Yeah, well, Tales to Astonish and Tales of Suspense. Well, Tales of Suspense became Iron Man and Cap.
Yep.
Right? Strange Tales was Human Torch and Doctor Strange. But they were ongoing. They would split the book in half. So I guess they had shorter stories. But it wasn't like new people. Tales to Astonish was Submariner and Hulk.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was Tales to Astonish, and there was also Astonishing Tales.
Astonishing Tales. That was Deathlock had his appearance in that.
So you're trying to convince me that Marvel Premiere should be held up as a comic of some renown because it featured the debut of a lot of great characters.
Yeah, and I mean,
allowed them to become who they eventually became.
Iron I think Fist if you go through Doctor this Strange. List, you're going to like have enjoyable reading.
I think,
and
so.
I'm sure you could pick up a anthology with like a lot of those people in it. So I would say, yeah, man, Marvel Premiere, you can't go wrong.
So this is what Adam and I do. We just give each other old comics for Christmas.
Or new.
Or new. Yeah,
I think it's new. I mean, it's good to read new stuff, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I find it impossible to keep up. I mean, like, there's other people who do podcasts that are probably so hip to the 20 issues that come out every Wednesday.
You know,
it's probably 60 issues.
Yeah, I can't keep up with all that.
Yeah, who could have time? I want to read other stuff, too.
But I'm convinced... Marvel Premiere.
Yeah, I knew that would be easy.
I did not. I haven't really thought about Marvel Premiere as its own title and how good it was, but you're right.
Yeah, there you go. I'm convinced you're convinced.
All right.
The convincing.
Once again, the bar extremely low for how hard it is to convince each other of something.
Well, but we have upcoming guests that apparently are going to be a little bit more hard to convince.
Good.
Thanks for listening, folks, to another Grown Ass Men, and happy 2017.
Grown Ass Men.